YSP's Dickens Dramatic Reading Society presents The 13 Clocks by James Thurber. Part 1. A Prince Among the Tosspots. Once upon a time, in a gloomy castle on a lonely hill, where there were 13 clocks that wouldn't go, there lived a cold, aggressive duke and his niece, the Princess Sarahlinda. She was warm in every wind and weather, but he was always cold. His hands were as cold as his smile and almost as cold as his heart. He wore gloves when he was asleep, and he wore gloves when he was awake, which made it difficult for him to pick up pins or coins or the kernels of nuts or to tear the wings from nightingales. He was 6'4" and 46, and even colder than he thought he was. One eye wore a velvet patch. The other glittered through a monocle, which made half his body seem closer to you than the other half. He had lost one eye when he was 12, for he was fond of peering into nests and lairs in search of birds and animals to maul. One afternoon a mother shrike had mauled him first. His nights were spent in evil dreams, and his days were given to wicked schemes. Wickedly scheming, he would limp and cackle through the cold corridors of the castle, planning new impossible feats for the suitors of Sarahlinda to perform. He did not wish to give her hand in marriage, since her hand was the only warm hand in the castle. Even the hands of his watch and the hands of all the 13 clocks were frozen. They had all frozen at the same time, on a snowy night 7 years before, and after that it was always 5:10 in the castle. Travelers and mariners would look up at the gloomy castle on the lonely hill and say, "Time lies frozen there. It's always then. It's never now." The cold duke was afraid of now, for now has warmth and urgency, and then is dead and buried. Now might bring a certain night of gay and shining courage.
"But now,"
the cold duke muttered,
"the prince will break himself against a new and awful labor. A place too high to reach, a thing too far to find, a burden too heavy to lift."
The duke was afraid of now, but he tampered with the clocks to see if they would go, out of a strange perversity, praying that they wouldn't. Tinkers and tinkerers and a few wizards who happened by tried to start the clocks with tools, or magic words, or by shaking them and cursing, but nothing whirred or ticked. The clocks were dead, and in the end, brooding on it, the duke decided he had murdered time. Slain it with his sword, and wiped his bloody blade upon its beard, and left it lying there, bleeding hours and minutes, its springs uncoiled and sprawling, its pendulum disintegrating. The duke limped because his legs were of different lengths. The right one had outgrown the left because, when he was young, he had spent his mornings place-kicking pups and punting kittens. He would say to a suitor,
"What is the difference in the length of my legs?"
And if the youth replied,
"Why, one is shorter than the other,"
the duke would run him through with the sword he carried in his sword cane and feed him to the geese. The suitor was supposed to say,
"Why, one is longer than the other."
Many a prince had been run through for naming the wrong difference. Others had been slain for offenses equally trivial, trampling the duke's camellias, failing to praise his wines, staring too long at his gloves, gazing too long at his niece. Those who survived his scorn and sword were given incredible labors to perform in order to win his niece's hand, the only warm hand in the castle, where time had frozen to death at 5:10 one snowy night. They were told to cut a slice of moon or change the ocean into wine. They were set to finding things that never were and building things that could not be. They came and tried and failed and disappeared and never came again. And some, as I have said, were slain for using names that start with X, or dropping spoons, or wearing rings, or speaking disrespectfully of sin. The castle and the duke grew colder, and Sarahlinda, as a princess will, even in a place where time lies frozen, became a little older, but only a little older. She was nearly 21 the day a prince, disguised as a minstrel, came singing to the town that lay below the castle. He called himself Xingu, which was not his name, and dangerous, since the name began with X, and still does. He was, quite properly, a thing of shreds and patches, a ragged minstrel, singing for pennies and a love of singing. Xingu, as he so rashly called himself, was the youngest son of a powerful king. but he had grown weary of rich attire and banquets and tournaments and the available princesses of his own realm, and yearned to find in a far land the maiden of his dreams, singing as he went, learning the life of the lowly, and possibly slaying a dragon here and there. At the sign of the Silver Swan in the town below the castle, where taverners, travelers, tale-tellers, tosspots, troublemakers, and other townspeople were gathered, he heard of Saralinda, loveliest princess on all the thousand islands of the ocean seas.
"If you can turn the rain to silver, she is yours,"
a taverner leered.
"If you can slay the thorny boar of Borythorn, she is yours,"
grinned a traveler.
"But there is no thorny boar of Borythorn, which makes it hard."
"What makes it even harder is her uncle Scorn and Sword,"
sneered a tale-teller.
"He will slit you from your guggle to your zatch."
"The Duke is 7 feet 9 inches tall and only 28 years old, or in his prime,"
a tosspot gurgled.
"His hand is cold enough to stop a clock and strong enough to choke a bull and swift enough to catch the wind. He breaks up minstrels in his soup like crackers."
"Our minstrel here will warm the old man's heart with song, dazzle him with jewels and gold,"
a troublemaker simpered.
"He'll trample on the Duke's camellia, spill his wine and blunt his sword, and say his name begins with X, and in the end the Duke will say, 'Take Saralinda with my blessing, O lordly prince of rags and tags, O rider of the sun.'"
The troublemaker weighed 18 stone, but the minstrel picked him up and tossed him in the air, and caught him, and set him down again. Then he paid his due and left the Swan.
"I've seen that youth before,"
the traveler mused, staring after Tsingu.
"But he was neither ragamuffin then nor minstrel. Now let me see, where was it?"
"In his soup,"
the tosspot said.
"Like crackers."